Suci, pure. So the translation of Canto 4, Chapter 18, Text 14, chapter entitled Prithu Maharaj Milks the Earth Planet is as follows. All the great sages transformed Brihaspati into a calf, and making the senses into a pot, they milked all kinds of Vedic knowledge to purify words, mind and hearing. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Brihaspati is the priest of the heavenly planets. Vedic knowledge was received in logical order by the great sages through Brihaspati for the benefit of human society, not only on this planet but throughout the universes. In other words, Vedic knowledge is considered one of the necessities for human society. If human society remains satisfied simply by taking grains from the planet Earth as well as other necessities for maintaining the body, society will not be sufficiently prosperous. Humanity must have food for the mind and ear as well as for the purpose of vibration. As far as transcendental vibration are concerned, the essence of all Vedic knowledge is Maha Mantra. Please repeat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In Kali Yuga, if this Vedic Maha Mantra is chanted regularly and heard regularly by the devotional process of Shravanam Kirtanam, it will purify all societies, thus humanity will be happy both materially and spiritually. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Nananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this chapter, Prithu Maharaj milking the earth planet, background is like this, that King Vena was very sinful and he had broken all the principles of religion, and because of that the earth had almost stopped giving its produce, and then from the body of King Vena churned out was King Prithu, the Shaktyavesh avatar of Krishna. And then he becomes very angry on earth and he chastises her. The earth becomes very fearful and puts forward her own statement to pacify the angry King Prithu. And then she explains very beautifully exactly what had happened and why she had to withdraw or withhold all the provisions from her very body. She explains that the people in the world at that moment of time, at the time of King Vena's rule, because of the sinful king, everybody became very sinful and they started using all the earthly produce simply for sense gratification and not for the purpose of yajna, to satisfy Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is why she says, I have withheld all my grains and fruits and everything else that I produce. So then she said, if you want to get again back my ingredients, she said, O great hero, protector of living entities, if you desire to relieve the living entities by supplying them sufficient grain, and if you desire to nourish them by taking milk from me, you should make arrangements to bring a calf suitable for this purpose and a pot in which the milk can be kept, as well as a milkman to do the work. since I will be very much affectionate towards my calf, your desire to take milk from me will be fulfilled. Because she has come in the form of a cow. And she was running and Rutu Maharaj was chasing her. She was very fearful. So it's a very beautiful poetic description. The earth is saying in the form of cow that bring me a calf. So there, by nature the calf, the cow is very loving towards the calf. And because of the love, the cow gives milk because she sees the calf and the love is erupting in the heart. Similarly, in human beings also, when the mother who is breastfeeding sees her child or remembers the child even at work sometimes in today's world, immediately milk flows. So the essential aspect of delivering milk from a cow or from mother, human beings, is love. So she is saying that you have to create a suitable calf. So then further descriptions come that all the demigods, various demigods who have various skills, the Gandharvas have musical skills and so many snakes have the poisonous nature, and every living entity, whatever foods they require. Various descriptions are there, you can read further. But in the beginning, the demigods brought Indra into a calf. And they took out Soma, that is Somras, which enhances the capacity of senses to enjoy more. And then further, the sons of Diti, the demons, transformed Prahlad Maharaj into a calf and then extracted various kinds of liquor and beer. See, depending on the people's consciousness, things are being produced. So here, in today's verse, we read that Brihaspati was made into a calf. And the senses were made into a cup. And what was milked out was Vedic knowledge. It's a perfect situation. Brihaspati is a great devotee of the Lord, pure devotee of the Lord, also the guru of demigods. So he became a calf, and out of love, in a perfect situation, what came out as milk was Vedic knowledge. So Prabhupada very beautifully explains that all the knowledge that is supposed to be beneficial for us in the Vedic sense, Vedic knowledge, is actually logically first given to Brihaspati. It originally is given to Lord Brahma in the heart by the word tapaha, by the Chatushloki Srimad Bhagavatam shlokas, four shlokas, and then it was handed down. And then again here it is handed down to Brihaspati. And Brihaspati gave this knowledge to all the sages, Sapta Rishis. And then it was distributed to all demigods and from there to human beings. So Swami Prabhupada explains in various beautiful purports the understanding of Vedic sciences. And Vedic injunctions are called as Shruti. Shruti means that which is to be heard through the ear. And there are additional supplements which are done by great sages as per their realization. They supply and put supplements. And that is called Smruti. For example, we have Manu Smruti. Manu is also a pure devotee of the Lord and represents the Lord, his incarnation of the Lord, Manvantara Avatar. And then he also writes some commentaries and some knowledge that to be given to human beings as a father of mankind. And that is called Manu Smruti. And Prabhupada gives example how Manu Smruti explains how to protect women and how it is best society where women are protected by their father or husband or a son, grown up son in the old age. And how the society remains very peaceful. So this is Smruti. And it is said that Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Devotion that anybody who claims to be very advanced in Krishna consciousness or bhakti or science of knowledge, if he doesn't refer to Shruti and Smruti, is simply a disturbance. Which means that one has to repeat the words of the Acharyas and the words of the Lord. The words of the Lord is coming down in the form of Vedas, which has been expanded by Brahma, future. And the words of Acharyas come as commentary on those particular instructions or injunctions given by Krishna in the form of Vedas. And without that, human life is actually a one sense a useless life. Why? Because knowledge can be attained only by human beings and the demigods who are in the category of the species of human beings only. Higher versions of bodies are demigods, but they come in the 4 lakh species of human life. And in human life, also explained in this purport, that if we simply sustain ourselves on grains and food grains and other things, milk and everything else which comes from the earth through the cows, if we only feel that we are happy to get those things to maintain our bodies, our life is incomplete. Human beings are the only species of life where knowledge is acquired. The animal life or the lower species of life is simply ahara nidra bhaya maitun. That much knowledge is given them. The knowledge of the soul is not available or not possible for them to gain. Human life is meant for attaining self-realization, athato brahma jikyasa. And from that, for that purpose, we have to utilize our human being to get knowledge about the self, because everybody is born as abodhajat. Abodhajat means abodha, there is no bodha, there is no knowledge. Everybody is, Prabhupada says, born as a fool. Fool means one who is having no knowledge. So this human life, the opportunity of getting knowledge is available, and also the instrument to receive knowledge, that is the brain, human brain, is also available. But if we do not utilize this particular facility and we simply maintain on bodily platform ourselves, the life becomes simply waste and again turns into repeated cycles of birth and death. So human life is meant for knowledge in the beginning. In the beginning it is meant for knowledge. Later part, when we get knowledge, what is the proof of knowledge? The knowledge has to be realized. And the knowledge, once it is realized, that means it is put into practice. So devotional service is knowledge that is realized and then put into practice. It is not simply some people in the Rishikesh, I know, when I was there, you know, days and days and months and years, simply they have big scriptures. They lock themselves in one room. There are many, many sadhus and all of them are in their individual closets. And they simply keep studying and studying and studying and studying. But such kind of knowledge, as Prabhupada explained in many purports, is like a crown, heavy crown, on the head of a person who is drowning in the ocean. So what it does? It makes you sink very faster. So that knowledge which is not applied for self-realization and progress of soul towards the Supreme Lord is simply a burden. In fact, such knowledge which is not practiced, not realized and not earned under the guidance of a self-realized soul simply becomes a burden for the soul and further entangles him in the cycles of birth and death. It's a very mysterious thing. That knowledge which is supposed to deliver us, how it is cause of our bondage and degradation, because the utility of that knowledge is supposed to be in practice. We have to practice what we have realized. We have to apply to our day-to-day life what we have learned. Simply repeating millions of times and reading millions of times that I am not this body, I am spirit soul, and we do not act on the platform of soul, and all that knowledge is a waste. And also it is not simply a waste, it also disturbs us. So Prabhupada has mentioned that too much knowledge of scriptures, of Vedic ocean of knowledge, is also a disturbance. That is why Srila Prabhupada is such a wonderful devotee of the Lord, that he has taken out the essence of all the Vedas and translated only those scriptures which are the most important scriptures for human beings, which can be understood and practiced in day-to-day life. That's why he first translated Bhagavad Gita, then he translated Srimad Bhagavatam, then Nectar of Devotion, then Upadeshamrita, then Vishopanishad, and then whatever he could do, he wrote. But essentially he wrote all that knowledge which is exactly practically applicable to our life. And he made it into such a way that even the person with low intelligence can also practice very nicely. We have read, before coming to Krishna consciousness, many literatures of Swami Vivekananda and many other Indian famous saints. But the way they have presented the knowledge in such a way that is so complicated to understand. It takes sometimes days to read, understand one paragraph for myself when I was a student. But when I came across Srila Prabhupada's books, it was so vividly, so simply explained. Shri Gaurinithai ki jai, Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ji ki jai. So because Srila Prabhupada not only understood the scriptures, he realized the scriptures by the mercy of his Guru, and therefore he could explain the highest, most esoteric truth in the form of simple words, so that all of us in the progressing Kali Yuga can understand very easily. not only understand easily, also he has given a formula how to apply that knowledge into our day-to-day life. So he simply puts us in front of us that human life is meant for initially for tapasya, knowledge. And to gain that knowledge, one has to purify our senses. So we have to follow four regulative principles. No meditating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. And chant the holy name of the Lord. Eat Krishna Prasadam. Serve the deities nicely. Stay in dham whenever possible. Or lifetime if possible. Serve the devotees. So this is the essential practical application. So what is devotional service? Devotional service is the practical spiritual aspect of Vedic knowledge. It helps us to actually realize and practice the day-to-day life, what we should do and what is been told in the Vedas. And the Vedas are supposed to be understood by human being because every human being has four defects. The tendency to make mistakes, even great souls make mistakes. Tendency of cheating. Then there is an illusion that we identify with the body that we have and with the surrounding of the body and the extensions of the body, we identify with that. That is illusion. And the senses that we have are imperfect. Whatever we see, we perceive and we receive through our senses is incomplete because our senses are imperfect. That is why Vedic knowledge is prescribed for us. The Vedic knowledge is apaurusheya. It is not written by any mortal man. It is coming directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not affected by these four defects, who is supremely pure, Supreme Personality, who is a creator. And from him is to become being totally fully transcendental. All that comes from him is fully transcendental, and it has to be received through the medium of ears. So that is why ear is very important. That's why knowledge is called also Shruti. Shruti means connected with the ear, to hear. And through our medical science also we know, even through Vedic scriptures we know, that the capacity to hear does not leave us till we leave this body. It is very important, something like medical and spiritual understanding that we should have, that one may be even deaf medically. One may be in coma in medical situation. That means no response. You can give him deep stimulus, prick him with needles, there will be no response. But the capacity to hear never leaves the person. The last thing that leaves the person along with the body is the capacity to hear. Why? Because the Lord has invested into this design of this human body the capacity to hear always. That means you may call a comatose person and he may not respond to you the way you feel like getting response. But he is listening from within. That's why in our hospice and in our death care, end of life care formula that we have created by the mercy of Prabhupada, in that the stress is given more on hearing and uttering sound vibration for the dying person. Because he may not be able to respond to you in coma condition, but within that he is hearing. There was one patient in the hospital. He came in coma condition, in emergency, and he was rushed to the casualty department. And then immediately they were understood that he requires ICU care. So he was rushed to the lift from there to second floor to ICU. And he was given all kinds of things, emergency care. And the doctors thought he will not live anymore. So they were trying to give him final cardiopulmonary resuscitation. That is the last moment of trying to revive the body, the life. And along with in our hospital, along with that, the spiritual care team is there. Whenever there is a person dying in the hospital, immediately the call comes to spiritual care department. And the spiritual care staff run to the place where the person is about to die. And on one side, the medical team is doing their work. And other side, the spiritual care people are trying to nourish the soul at the last moment of time. So that is called as end of life care. And that was given in the form of chanting of the holy name, in the form of reading Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, in the form of prayers, in the form of giving tulsi, in the form of giving the holy waters of Radha Kunda or Ganga Jal. And all these things are going on. And somehow, with all these things, with the medical team giving him support, the patient came back to life. He didn't die. He just revived. Became all right. He was shifted to the normal ward, and then one day, after a few days, he went walking home. But before going home at discharge, He said that I remember every single thing when I entered in the hospital till I leave the hospital. That means he actually entered in the comatose situation. He said, I remember the tune of Hare Krishna Mahamantra which Prabhupada was singing in the speaker in the hospital when I entered, and then in the lift it was ringing the same sound. It was ringing in the ICU also. And I also remember everything. There was some sound of prayers and some sound of chanting, and something was put on my body. I remember everything, but my request that time when I was hearing from within, I felt that you should have chanted for me a little louder than what you were doing. It's a very wonderful, I mean, everybody may not come back from the stage of receiving end of life care. But some people do come back. Some people receive death care many, many times because they come to near their situations and then they again become alright, but serious, but again go to end of life situation, again receive end of life care, spiritual care, again 3, 4, 5, 6 times. There was a devotee called Yamunapati Prabhu, Brahmachari from Digri. We gave him spiritual care for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 3 to 4 times. And he goes to up and down, up and down, up and down, and finally, after 5th time receiving, he left his body. But every time, he was able to hear what was being told in his ears. In fact, the soul is such a beautiful creation of Lord, and the body around that, the capacity to hear is always there. So we should completely utilize, maybe exploit, maybe completely get the benefit of the situation and help dying people in all circumstances of life. Whether the bodies are from bomb blast that we had bomb blast patients. Everybody, you know, came in wholesale number there. 44 people came. On all of them, the spiritual care team was 72 hours on board without going home. There only, giving spiritual care to everybody. 14 of them died after 15 minutes and 22 of them remained for a couple of months. And then few of them died and some of them got cured and went home. But everybody without fail received the sound vibration of the holy name, which is the essential essence of all the Vedas. We say in Hindi, nichod. That means we squeeze something from water, cloth. What comes out is called nichod, sar, the essence. And Krishna himself says, Vedaishya sarvair aham eva vedyo. Vedanta krit veda videva chaham. And also we hear in from Kalisandana Upanishad that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Iti Shodashaka Namnam, Kali Kalmasha Nashanam, Nataha Paratarupaya Sarva Vedeshu Drushyate. After Drushyate means after seeing through, going through all the Vedic literatures, all the Puranas, all the supplements, all the Aranyakas, all the Itihasas and the four Vedas. What one can understand as an essence is the 16 word Mahamantra. So actually when we chant the Mahamantra, we are giving all the knowledge available in the world in the ear of the patient or the devotee. Is not a very wonderful thing? How can one read all Vedas to one somebody who is dying? It will take maybe years and years and years, he may not even survive. But here is the most wonderful thing Krishna has created. What he has done? The essence of Gaulok Vrindavan, which is simply love. The essence, the highest essence, concentrated essence, which is the loving reciprocations between the Brajvasis eternally residing with Krishna and Gaulok Vrindavan. That is what? Gaulokera Premadhana. Then he has encapsulated that essence into Harinam Sankirtana, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then he did it personally. Put all the essence of all the Golok Dham into Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and then he himself changed his form, accepting the bhav of the personality who is also the essential embodiment of this prema, that is Radharani. And he became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then indeed he didn't say, okay Nityananda you go, okay you go. No, he himself came along with everybody. Personally, to deliver this essential aspect of his holy dham, eternal abode, to everybody most fallen in Kali Yuga also. He didn't distribute only to Brahmins, or those who are qualified, or those who are studying scriptures, or those who are doing XYZ things. No qualifications. That means, looking at the constantly, exponentially degradable condition of Kali Yuga, Lord Krishna has made a formula that in any stage of Kali Yuga, however fallen that could be, or that may be, or that will be, this formula should be made which can be available and applicable to everybody's life. Even at the end of 432,000 years of Kali Yuga, this formula will be applicable. It will be definitely applicable powerfully for 10,000 years from the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from his appearance. 10,000 years. Srila Prabhupada also wrote books for 10,000 years. The golden age of Kali Yuga. In which it will be very prominently, easily approachable and available. And practicable also, without difficulty. Of course, difficulty will increase, but still one can practice. After that, practice will be difficult, but still it is not impossible. Or it will not be unavailable. The Yuga Dharma, the Lord has established Himself. So that is why you have to understand that this being born as above the jat still is okay as long as we receive the essence of all the scriptures in the form of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And how one receives the gift of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? One who has performed all the pious activities, done all services to devotees and did all good things in the past life, Agya Sukruti, Samaj Seva, whatever is supposed to be accumulated. As a result of all, one has studied all the scriptures in the past life, one has studied, did all tapasyas in the past life. As a result of all that, in this particular lifetime, we receive the holy name. So one who is seen to be chanting the holy name, it is understood that this personality has performed all that is necessary. Tapaha, Dana, Punya, Tirtha Yatra, every single thing, knowledge, Jnana, in all the past lifetimes. And as a gift, as a result of that, he is receiving Hare Krishna Mahamantra and is able to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So that is why what is important to understand is that after having received the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in this lifetime, being whatever qualification we may have, we should take it very seriously. Without chanting Hare Krishna seriously, one cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness. Even materially speaking also, Prabhupada is explaining here, when we chant Hare Krishna, clouds come together and it rains. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj has demonstrated this in Japan. I think Japan or some other eastern country. There was no rains. And he said, let us go on the road and chant Hare Krishna. They were so desperate that even they didn't have faith. They said, whatever, if it doesn't work also there is no loss, but if it works then it is good. So he brought people on the road, performed Harinam Sankirtan in the country of not even Lechar, Yavanas, below that, Chandalas. And actually it rained. And people really believed it. Because Prabhupada mentioned in different purports here that when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra together, it collects the clouds together and it rains after that. When it rains, then the earth gives rains and human life is sustainable. So most important yajna is Harinam Sankirtan yajna. And without human beings, if they don't perform yajna, then please understand one thing. Today I was very happy to read this, that we think that we chant Hare Krishna and human beings are benefited by rains and all. Prabhupada explains purports that when the human beings perform yajna, all the other species also get benefited in the form of provision for their sustenance, in the form of agya sukruti of spirituality. So today, there is so much of dearth of rains. There are droughts in Maharashtra all the year, UP, constantly there is drought, sometimes over rain, sometimes no rains, and so many scarcities are there. But still we find life is sustaining. Still we find some grain is coming from somewhere. Some fruits are coming from somewhere. And we do get some palatable, reasonably good food. We are not running behind and trying to grab and steal and trying to somehow manage our, like the birds do. They have to really run, fight with each other and get some grains, grab some grain. Day and night they have to struggle. They can't sit down and eat peacefully. And you know, we have nice arrangements, sit down nicely, have petal, nice prasadam is being served and we are concentrating on that. The birds don't do that. But we have this peaceful situation of accepting our prasadam and getting facilities because devotees are chanting Hare Krishna in this world. Even the debauchees, the sinful rascals, the demons, the dacoits, they are also getting food to eat because somewhere devotees are chanting Hare Krishna. What Indra Prabhu established over here, 24 hours chanting Hare Krishna in Juhu temple, in Mayapur temple, in Prabhupada's Kutir, and so many other places in the world, this Harinam Sankirtan. Nowadays there is, the young groups are coming together in Bombay and US and UK, and there is in Birmingham and in New Jersey and in Radha Gopinath Temple and in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. On the Janmashtami day we had 16 hours kirtan song. Youngsters are coming together and are getting into the mood of 12 hours, 16 hours, 24 hours kirtan. This is the activity when we come together and perform Harinam Sankirtan. Not only it attracts Krishna amongst the devotees who are chanting, but it creates prosperity in the world around. When I was bringing Radhakund Prabhu, his Prabhupada disciple, in the last stage of his life of cancer, from Bhaktivedanta Hospital to Vrindavan to establish him here, he was chanting, singing the holy name constantly in the train. And he said, even if you go to most sinful place, when you chant Hare Krishna and sing Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the atmosphere becomes very pure. So I know this train is filled with all kinds of people. They eat meat and everything in the train and do nonsense, talk nonsense. So I am trying to constantly chant and keep myself in a pure environment, created by singing of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So all of us know that chanting Hare Krishna creates pure atmosphere. But we may not remember in every situation where we are in the dirty locations. But the realization means, as soon as you feel impure surroundings, immediately Harinam springs from your heart. And you keep your, at least yourself, if not everybody else. But by default, wherever you chant Hare Krishna, whoever is around you, whether it be the mosquito or human beings or cows or dogs or any other, you know, lizards or cockroaches in the train, all of them come into a pure atmosphere of spiritual vibration. And if not direct sukruti, they get at least agya sukruti. Some spiritual benefit is received by them, which will help them in future, in the future generation. Another point which Prabhupada makes in this purport is very beautiful purport. He makes that there are many smrutis and many supplementary scriptures which give us a lot of knowledge. For example, one scripture gives us knowledge that if the human beings do not perform their duties as human beings in the form of performing yajna and doing so many activities in service to the Lord, please the Lord, then they may become ghosts and they may go to Prithruloka and they may not have bodies. They may have only subtle bodies and they may suffer for the want of body and having unlimited desires within them. But then he says, simply by eating prasadam every day, one can 100% prevent the possibility of becoming a ghost. This is practical application. Knowledge is given in the Vedas that how one becomes ghost and what all activities lead one to ghostly activity, ghostly nature and ghostly situations, and if one commits suicide, he may become a ghost and hang on with subtle body. But what next? But Prabhupada is also a person who created Smriti. Smriti means the supplementary knowledge on Vedas. Is that right? All his purports are Smriti only. Because he added supplementary explanations of all the verses of Bhagavatam and other scriptures. So what he gives us, he also gives us knowledge what the Vedas are giving. You'll read in the next 2-3 verses. But he says, eat prasadam every day. That is devotional service. So what are we interested in? Not simply Vedic knowledge. We are interested in practical applications of Vedic knowledge in our day-to-day life, which will uplift our soul towards lotus feet of Krishna. That is much wonderful. So Prabhupada's contribution is simply amazing. Also he mentions that many people in the world today are creating so many relief funds and charity funds and institutions to help human beings, to help birds, to help beasts and to help so many things. There are people of all kinds, you know, they will eat meat in their dining table and they will say, we love birds and we have bird protecting institutions and dog protecting institutions, and they will eat goats but protect dogs very nicely. So all Prabhupada says, all foolish people. They don't have any realization. They have a pseudo compassion. Their compassion is incomplete. In fact, it's a false compassion. It's not compassion at all. You cannot love dogs and hate goats and eat their flesh. You know, while eating your meat, you are caressing your dog and feeding it milk. That is false compassion. Or we are killing cows in abundance number and then love dogs and protect them and have clinics for them and hospitals for them and super speciality hospitals for dogs. So Prabhupada says that such institutions will not help human society at all. Because the whole idea of their compassion and creating the institution is based on ignorance. They don't know who they are. They don't know who the other living entities are. They don't know their connection and the other living entities' connection with the Supreme Lord. So whatever they do is speculation. And because it is speculation, concoction, self-created things against Vedas, exactly opposite Vedas, they will only create chaos. So we have so many, we have, you know, human rights organizations, and we have so many institutions, birds organizations having birds and trees and dogs and so many things. But still the chaos is continuing in the world. So Prabhupada says, when human society becomes sinful, even other species suffer due to lack of provisions from earth. The earth is responsive to human beings' yajna. Proportionately, if the human beings are utilizing their time and energy in performing yajna to please the Lord, then along with human beings also other living entities benefited. And if human beings don't do that, then the other living beings also suffer. That is why Krishnarthi Akhila Chesta, we have to do Akhila Chesta, means all the efforts of our life, all our energies that we have obtained in activities, all our activities should be only Krishnarthi, only to please the Supreme Lord. And when human beings will do that, all other species will receive food. Such an important thing. So today morning when I was chanting Hare Krishna, I was thinking, when I chant Hare Krishna, it is not only for my upliftment and purification, it's also for the natural upliftment and provision for all the living entities around me in the world. So we have a big responsibility as human beings. Our life is not simply meant for our own salvation, our life is also meant for helping others for salvation. Not only human beings, but all the living entities. When I chant Hare Krishna, when we chant Hare Krishna, when we do kirtan together, it is benefiting every atom of this creation. Not only this creation, not only this universe, but all the other universes, wherever they are living entities in the material world, in the material creation, created by Mahavishnu, everywhere the benefit goes, because the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra or performing kirtan is transcendental. It doesn't get stopped. Or it is not hindered by the material coverings, by the body, by this place, by the circumstances. It can cross every layer of the universe and reach the ear of Krishna, like the flute of Krishna. It cannot remain over here. It goes crossing all the barriers of material world and affects every soul which is spiritual in nature, and reaches all the universes and reaches the ears of Lord. It's a very powerful activity. And we being so insignificant, not qualified, but still we have been awarded with this great transcendental gift from Goloka Vrindavan. How much we have to invest our life in understanding the glory of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Although we are not supposed to preach the glories of the holy name to faithless person, but at least we should know ourselves the depths, the inner depths of the glories of the holy name, what it can do. Along with salvaging ourselves, it can salvage everybody in the world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he performed Sankirtan movement, he established, everybody who was present that time in the universe were delivered back to Godhead. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the most purest of all purest Harinam Sankirtan. So to the degree we chant the holy name personally or collectively in Kirtan, with whatever purity we chant, that much benefit will be received. So also we have a responsibility to become pure as fast as possible. Because when we chant the mantra with pure heart, the area that it affects becomes wider and wider and wider. And when the pure devotee chants, it affects the whole universe. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Amara Agya Hoi Tarai Desh. Amara Agya Hoi Guru Tarai Desh. What does that mean? That all of us have to become Guru. That means we have to become pure hearted, realized souls. So that when we chant the holy name in that stage, it will affect everybody in the universe. It's our responsibility. So, in essence, this Ravanaman Kirtanam process is awarded to us. We're very fortunate to be in Sri Vrindavan Dham, where chanting Hare Krishna is very natural. very easy, very spontaneous, not like Bombay or Delhi, very difficult, a lot of struggle is there. We have to be utterly grateful to the Lord to having been receiving this knowledge, the understanding. We should be grateful to the Lord also to have association of sincere devotees, great souls, sannyasis, gurus, predecessors, their vani being available to us through books. Because they have made it very easy for us. If they were not there, this complicated Vedic knowledge is very difficult to understand. You can read some of the books which are not purported by Prabhupada. You'll find so much difficulty in understanding. Even this chapter of Prithu Maharaj is very difficult. If you read only translations, it's very confusing. But Prabhupada gives such beautiful purports and explains everything. What is the meaning of all these pastimes? Srimad Bhagavatam, the topmost of all literatures, is made available easily to all of us through Prabhupada's purport. So that's why we have to be grateful to these acharyas. So Prabhupada has paved our way to the Supreme Godhead. He has made whatever is appeared to be most difficult, impossible. Srila Prabhupada, through his wonderful explanations, have made it possible. Srila Prabhupada ki! Last thing I wanted to mention, 2 minutes, that these Vedas actually do not glorify the Lord personally, directly. And they are also personalities. If you read Krishna book, you will read that prayers by the personified Vedas. Is that right? Before the advent of Krishna. So, everything is personal in Krishna consciousness, in truth, in spirituality. That means even the stone in Vrindavan is a person. Even the blade of grass is a person. Even the trees are persons. The birds are persons. Even the stone in the mountain, everything is a person. Everything is Chintamani, live, spiritually live. So the books also, the scripture also are people. Bhagavad Gita also is a person. For that matter, even the institutions made by pure devotees are also people. They also have their personality. So Vedas also are people. So you know the story, after writing all the Vedas, still Vyasadeva was not happy. Then he had to write glorification of the Lord. He was ordered by Narad Muni, after joking for a while, please write glorifications. What you have written up till now is simply knowledge. Simply knowledge will not help us. We need to couple that knowledge up with glorification of the Lord. And then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Amalam Puranam, which is simply glorification of the Supreme Lord to various pastimes in connection with his devotees. And then Vyasadeva felt the complete satisfaction which one receives after following the order of Guru. So these Vedas also knew themselves as persons that we have not done any seva of glorification. So they went and approached Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. And they pleaded, you know, please be merciful to us. We hear that gopis in Vrindavan are relishing the rasa with Krishna and we are bereft because our job is only to give knowledge. Please be merciful to us. So then Sheshasayi Vishnu kindly gave them darshan of Golok Vrindavan. And they saw Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj there, they saw all the gopis there, they saw everybody, they saw cows, and they saw the interaction between all of them with Krishna in such a loving platform. So immediately by this vision, they developed desire to be with the Lord and serve Him. So by the mercy of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, they received birth in the houses of cowherd men in Nandagaon, the gopas. The gopas which are like Nanda Maharaj in Nandagaon, they received birth as small girls in the houses of gopas of Nandagaon. And by that way, they got opportunity to see the Lord as baby every day and assist Mother Yashoda in taking care of him. For example, she is dressing him, she is giving bath to them, then stand with the water, stand with clothes, stand with the ornaments ready, stand with food ready, stand with aarti paraffin ready. That kind of menial service they achieved. And then they met Vrinda Devi and they saw her. She is so expert into beautifully organizing all kinds of wonderful, amorous pastimes of the Lord. The dresses, the clothes, the environment, the color and everything. The music and the taal and the raga. So they were very attracted to her. They surrendered to her and requested, please bless us. So by the blessings of Vrinda Devi, they achieved the entrance in Raslila. Such a beautiful thing it is. Imagine, when the Vedas were simply giving knowledge, the personifications of Vedas could enter the pastimes of the Lord intimately. But one important point is there, that without the mercy one cannot do all these things. So we may be having vast knowledge, but that vast knowledge to be converted into realization requires a blessing of a pure devotee. Without that blessing, you may read Bhagavatam and other Upanishads and Puranas millions of times, nothing will change. It will be like an empty bullet. It will not affect, our words will not affect anybody's heart. But it's simply a burden, external burden of material knowledge. I mean knowledge which is knowledge form. Knowledge is not powerful enough to take us back to Godhead. Knowledge has to be converted into realization, into practice, and then it can take back us back to Godhead. That is why we are very, very grateful to your devotees like Prabhupada, Bhakti Sudhan Saraswati, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, who have given us the explanations, the wonderful simplified explanations, because of which we are also having hope that we will one day assist Krishna in his service, assist our Gurudev in serving Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Yes, yes. One question. Sorry. Yes, sir. Is the microphone there? Yes, sir. Yes, yes, I'm able to hear.
Benefits everyone. The kind permission I would like to just narrate what Prabhupada gave.
Yes.
Once some visitors, they said to Prabhupada, please pray for us. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's my business, I'm praying for everyone.
Hare Krishna. So we all have to pray for each other. Huh? And it is said that when we pray for ourselves, the prayers may be heard, no doubt about it, depending on the intensity and sincerity. But when others pray for us, it will be definitely heard. And when we pray for others, it will be 100% heard and responded at the earliest time. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.